me through. As I face the fear and danger, walk me through. When the darkness hovers near and I don't know what to do, take my hand, gentle shepherd, walk me through. Shelter me from rising tides. I'm depending, Lord, on you to walk me through. There'll be winds of pain and sadness. Walk me through. Too weak to stand and I lose sight of the truth. Carry me, faithful Father, walk me through. To keep mine eyes on you. Be my comfort, be my guide. Shelter me from rising tides. I'm depending, Lord, on you to walk me through. I'm
Amen. Let's all stand this evening. The days ahead are going to be tough for the Dale family. Keep them in prayer. That song right there just reminded me of when my dad passed. And the first time, right after that, walking, Sterling, when he first said, "Daddy," grabbed my hand. All these memories, good times and bad, come flashing back. So you're on my hearts to the family. It's a tough time. Patriarch gone. Support our matriarch, Sister Peggy. She needs strength. She has all the love of us, but she's on my heart very heavy in this time. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see you. Love you.
To see.
see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Good afternoon, saints.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Amen. I trust that you all are doing well. And so it's definitely hard to be up here, you know, after this week's events. So, but I know it's harder for the family. And so, you know, if I could just say that, you know, I would say probably on behalf of all the other ministers here, I don't think we would ever be able to fit the shoes of Brother Dale, take the place of Brother Dale. He was special in his ministry and what God gave him, you know. And I can definitely say that I was helped a lot by his ministry. I don't think that I would be in the place that I would be in now if it wasn't for the word that he preached. And he definitely, as I was telling Brother Wade, he definitely loved this message. He loved the prophet. And so I have confidence that what we have heard here in the last 40 or so years, or the time that you all, I know you all have been here longer, most of you all, that word will take us to the other side. Amen. Because it was the word that Brother Branham preached, and Brother Branham preached what Paul preached. Amen. So I'm confident in that. And I know that each and every one of us continue to serve the God that he served. Amen. We will see him there on that other side. Amen. And it's not a time, I don't think he would probably want to come back in the state that he was in. And so we're actually rejoicing. Amen. That he's graduated.
Amen.
And I'm ready to see him too. Amen. And so I just ask that you all just pray for the family and continue to keep the family in prayer. Nanny needs your support, needs prayer, and just support her in whatever way you can. Amen. I know that would definitely encourage her. Amen. Just put yourself in her shoes. What would you want people to do for you? You see. So with that, I just want to let you all know we got brothers all over the world just messaging Brother Wade, messaging me. We got the saints there in Central America and Canada. They've just been messaging us. In South America, Brother Neri from Chile, he messaged Brother Fabian Palma. They send their condolences. They're all praying for the family. So just take courage that you all are surrounded by a wall of prayer.
Amen.
And you all will come out through this.
Amen.
I know for sure.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. If you want to, let's go to the Word tonight, and my intention is not to keep you all too long tonight, but you know what, I felt the Lord just put on my heart. You know, Brother Branham preached a message, two messages called Shalom, and so we're just kind of taking a little bit, some pieces from that, but I want to title this tonight, The Lord is Peace, which is what the word Shalom means.
Amen.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is Peace.
Amen.
And then a subtitle, Having the Great Shalom in Times of Pain.
Amen.
Amen. So let's turn to Romans 5, 1 through 6. And if you have your Bibles, and before we read, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to gather here this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, with sorrowing hearts, Lord God, and Lord Jesus, knowing, Lord God Almighty, that, Father, it's not that you, Father God, didn't answer prayer, Lord. It's just that this is was your will, Lord Jesus. And your will, Father God, is what we want for our lives, Lord. Father, more than anything that we would desire, Lord, is we want your will. And we know your will is your word, Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray this evening, Father God, a special prayer, Lord, there for Nanny, Lord Jesus, right now, that you would just give her strength, Lord. May the God of peace, the God of shalom, Lord Jesus, just be with her right now, Lord. Give her comfort. Give her peace of mind, Lord. Let her know, Father God, that, Lord Jesus, you are still alive, Lord. And that, Lord God Almighty, you are still the Word, Lord. And that you are active and alive, Lord Jesus. And you can give her the peace that passes all understanding. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Bless the rest of the family. Pray for Brother Terrence. Pray for Anna, Lord God. Brother Wade. I ask that you'd be with each one, Lord God. The in-laws, Lord Jesus. All of them, Lord God. The grandchildren, Lord Jesus. They lost, Father God, a grandfather, a father. Lord, some a brother, some an uncle, Lord God. Some just a great friend. And Lord, for us here as a church, Lord, we lost a pastor, Father. But Lord Jesus, Father, you gained your son, Lord God Almighty. Father, he's graduated, Lord, and he's in peace right now, Lord. And so, Father God, he's in the spot, Lord God, that he's preached, Father, for over 40 years. And so, Lord Jesus, we just wouldn't even want to bring him back to this house of pestilence, Lord God. But Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord Jesus, to seek our salvation with fear and trembling, Lord God Almighty. For the time is at hand, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you would help us tonight. Forgive us for all of our sins. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus, from any unrighteousness, Lord. And may you, Heavenly Father, just have your way here tonight. Help us to receive something that would give us comfort, Lord God. We pray. We ask your blessings upon these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's just read Romans 5, 1 through 6, and then I'll have you be seated. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our peace giver. Amen. He is the source of peace, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your seats this evening. Amen. Amen. The Lord is peace. Amen. The Lord is peace. You know, we get that word shalom from I apologize because I'm having to do this here and this here at the same time. So I didn't even scroll the screen while we were reading, but there you go. We get the word shalom from Judges chapter 6, and let's just read this here real quick. And it was Gideon that said this in the scriptures, and it says, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. If you remember, Gideon was in a state of fear at the moment. He was in a state of turmoil. The people, his people, were in the state of fear. They were having to fight. I believe it was forgot the people they were fighting against at the time, the Philistines, I believe. And so they were always constantly in a struggle, and they were and Gideon came to a point where he was in fear. But the Lord come to Gideon, amen, and told him, amen, you're a mighty man of valor. Even though he was in fear, even though he was in turmoil in his mind and tribulation, He still spoke to him in a peaceful way and told him positive news, gave him positive things, amen. Because I just want to say that sometimes, amen, that's what we need, amen. Sometimes we don't need a rebuke. Amen. What we need sometimes is just peaceful words or just to be heard. Amen. Just to be listened to. Just to have someone to listen to you, that just does wonders to you. Amen. The person may not even say anything to you, but that is the therapy within itself. Just listening to somebody, amen, causes, it's a wonderful therapy within itself. Because you and I can't fix everybody else's problems. You and I can't fix the world's problems. Amen. God is the one that gives the solutions. Amen. But this is what Gideon needed. And the angel of the Lord came and told him this. And Gideon gave put a fleece before the Lord. And this was one of the fleeces that he put before the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Amen. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Amen. So Shalom means Jehovah is peace. Amen. And he is the peace. Amen. When we feel like there is no peace. He is the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And so if we can just keep in our mind that nothing happens, amen, just to happen. All has a purpose. Amen. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Amen. And so we find ourselves in what we are in today, amen, because God deemed it to be that way. Amen. For whatever reason, he knows. We don't know. We don't have to know all the details about it. Amen. But as long as he knows, amen, as long as he is in control, amen, then we could just rest and have peace and shalom on that. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And sometimes, you know, we feel like we need to explain everything. We need, you know, there's lots of things in the scriptures that we can't explain. Amen. They're there. Amen. Even in Brother Branham's ministry, amen, there was things that he couldn't even explain. But it happened. But as long as God has them in his hands, amen, as long as God knows all about it, amen, I want to put my burdens upon him and let him control the situations, amen. Amen. Praise God. And so, saints, you know, sometimes, you know, Jesus, he allows us to go through painful things, amen, some shame and suffering, amen, because he knows our expected end. If we read in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says, I like the way he says it. He says, "For I know," this is God talking through Jeremiah. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Now, think about that. He knows every detail, every thought that he's thinking of you from before you were in the mother's womb, when you were an attribute of his. He knew exactly what you were going to go through. He knew exactly what Brother Dale was going to go through. Amen. Yes. Saith the Lord. So it's the Lord saying it. Amen. Thoughts of what? Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. So we might think, oh my, this is happening and this, it's evil. It's tearing me apart. But his thoughts of you are not of evil. He just said it. My thoughts of you are of peace and not of evil. What? To give you an expected end. In other words, an end that he already knew before the foundation of the world. And he took you in your life, amen, to come to the point where you are at now. Amen. And it didn't take him by surprise. It might take us by surprise. But to him, amen, nothing takes him by surprise. Amen. Because he knows the beginning from the end. Amen. Praise God. So he knows all the details of our lives and everything that you're going to go through, every aspect of your life. Amen. The schools that you're going to go to, the jobs that you're going to work, every single thing. Amen. He knows, and he's guiding the footsteps of the righteous. Amen. Praise God. You're not here at this moment. Amen. By accident. And nothing that has happened, amen, in the last few years has happened by accident. It was in the plans of God. Amen. Amen. So we can rest on that. Amen. The events in our lives, they're not surprises. Amen. But they're expected by God because it's what he's seen. It's part of predestination. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Colossians 3:3 tells us this. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, notice what it says. It's hid. Amen. How many played hide and seek before? And when we played hide and seek, you know, and it was you're hiding, and that person is counting, and you're away, and you're looking for a place to hide, and you get down to a certain place, and you know they're not going to find you there. Eventually, they're finding everybody else, and then eventually, either you're going to have to go run to base, or they'll find you, right? But not with God. Amen. Satan can't even find, amen, where you are. It's a mystery to him how you are hid in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the reason why your life is coming to an expected end. Amen. An end that he had from the beginning. Amen. From the foundation of the world. Why? Because you are hid in him. If you are in him. Amen. Praise God. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. So nothing that can happen to you, nothing that happened, amen, to Brother Dale, amen, was unexpected, amen. God knew all about it before the foundation of the world, amen. And it pleased him, amen, that he went through that, amen, in order to get to where he's at now. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And you know, sometimes we think death is terrible. And I know it is. I've seen my in-laws. They've passed away. I've seen them there with death rattles. And my wife, she took a lot of the burden with her sisters on that. So we know what the Dale family has gone through in that regard. But, you know, death isn't pretty. Death isn't pretty. But at the same time, what a gracious thing to have, amen, a vehicle of death. That we can pass from this life, amen, to graduate to the other side, amen? What if we were stuck in a body, amen, and just feeble and getting feeble and getting feeble and older and older and older, and there was no way out of that? Think about that. Who would want to live that way? Amen? And so, but I'm thankful, amen, that there is that, you know, and from the beginning, death, it wasn't the intention of God. It wasn't his perfect will, amen, but it had to happen that way, amen, in order, because if we see death now, then that means we can enjoy life, amen. We're desiring life, amen, because we're seeing death all around us. Right. You know, when Brother Branham preached this message, Shalom, he talked about the darkness that was squeezing upon the earth and upon the land, that we see all kinds of darkness taking place in the land. It's just the darkest age that we've ever lived in. Total chaos, total insanity. If Brother Branham thought it was that way back in 1964 when he preached this, how much us in the hour that we're living in? People just, their minds have been totally... It's totally insanity. And there's nothing that you can say or do to change their mind. People are going to go do what they have been anointed to do in order to fulfill the scriptures. Amen. But there's a bride in this hour. Amen. That they're anointed to also fulfill the scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. They're anointed, amen, for a resurrection. They're anointed for a body change, amen. They're anointed, amen, to tell death, amen, like this, and shrug it off and keep moving on, amen. There's a people that's going to come to that place, amen. And it's just as sure as I'm standing here. Because the word declares it.
Amen.
And I believe it.
Amen.
And that settles it.
Amen.
Amen. So the saints that have gone on before us, amen, we're expecting to see them again. Because the Bible says so. Amen. We're expecting that. Brother, we're going to see Brother Dell again, and he won't be the way he left. Amen. We're going to see him, amen, in young. I never really got to see him how really young, amen. But I'm going to see him that way when I see him again, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And some of the other saints that have gone on before us, amen, they're going to be young. Praise God. So God, he has a vision for each and every one of us, and he knows what it will take to get us to that place, amen. Praise God. It's like the potter, amen, that's building that clay pot, amen. He has a vision before he actually starts working on the pot. Before he even goes and grabs the water and grabs the clay, he already has a vision of the end finished product. Amen. And that's the reason why God, amen, he knows you from the beginning to the end. He has a vision of how you are at the expected end. Amen. Praise God. It's something that he expects. Amen. I expect that when I go out there to the car, amen, this evening, that the car is going to crank. Amen. It's expecting something. Amen. Is that you know it's going to happen. Praise God. And so God, in his mind, he knows that it's going to happen. He knows because it's the expected end. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so that potter, amen, he's building this pot. He's working on it, amen. But as he's working on it, amen, it's not looking pretty sometimes. Sometimes it looks very messy. And remember, he's part of that mess as well. The potter is part of that mess. Amen. He's working and molding on it. He's getting dirty himself. And I'm so thankful, amen, that he took the curse before us. Amen. He got his hands dirty before we get our hands dirty. Amen. And he's the one, amen, who took our place. Amen. And went to hell for us. Amen. That we don't have to go. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the one that did it. Amen. Because why? He did it for an expected end in your life. Amen. Praise God. And so he's working on this pot, amen. And then eventually, right before the pot might be saying, if the pot could talk, if the vase could talk, he would be like, wow, I've gone through this pain, this molding, this handle that he's made me, and I'm gone through this. Now he can set me aside. The potter will leave me alone. No. Amen. You're going into the oven, buddy. You go into the oven because we're going to toughen you up. Amen. That's not the soft little pot, you know. It's got the molding of what it's going to look like, but it's not the expected end. Amen. And so in the expected end, amen, it's for us, amen, to go in through the fire. Amen. And it's in the fire, amen, that's going to try us. Amen. It's the fire, amen, that's gonna keep you, or it's gonna keep you there, or you're gonna give up. Amen. Because sometimes when the pot goes in the fire, it can't handle the fire. Amen. But if the potter has done the right job, if it's done exactly what it needed to do, that pot's gonna withstand the fire. Amen. And so we are confident that the work that God has done in our lives, amen, he is going to finish it. To the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to finish the work that he started in us. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm confident in that. I'm expecting that. Praise God. Because he has an expected end of me. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't let sometimes, and I say this for everybody, amen, don't let the fire crack you up. The fire is to make you better. Amen. Know that the potter, have confidence that what the potter has done and that he's done a good work in you, that you will withstand the fire. Amen. And let me tell you, saints, you know, we're all of us, amen. Brother Branham talked about a squeeze. Amen. If you might be saying, well, I'm feeling a squeeze right now. Look at these gas prices. Squeezing the money and the change, everything out of me. I just... Look, But I tell you what, there's other things that are coming about that are way beyond gas prices. Amen? And if you can't handle, amen, problems right now, how are you going to handle that? Amen? Because it's coming. The prophet talked about it. Amen? But thank God, amen, that we have, amen, the winner, the victorious one in us. Amen? The one that has molded our lives and has given us the Holy Ghost that we can conquer. Amen? During that time. Amen? I don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes I don't even care to know what's going to happen. It's so daunting and so overwhelming, the things in the media and in the news. It's just constant bombarding of something bad happening all the time. Amen. That is trying to lose our focus on the Word. It's really what it's doing. And so, amen, just stay in the Word, saints. Stay in the Word. Stay with the vision that He has for you. Praise God. So we know that pain, amen, it's part of that vision that God has for you, that expected end. Pain is part of it. Amen. There's a little story that I was reading one time of a bear that was stuck in a trap. And there was a hunter that was going by. He was hunting deer, and he saw the bear was stuck in the trap, and he went over there to try to grab the bear from the trap. And was wanting to help the bear out of the trap, but the bear just would not stay still, would not let go, just would not let the hunter do what he needed to do to get him out of the trap. And so the hunter, he's like, well, I have a tranquilizer gun, so let me just pull that out. And when the bear saw that, he went bonkers and just would not let the hunter shoot him up with the tranquilizer gun so that he could stay still. He had all intentions, the hunter had all intentions to let him go. But the bear thought that he was doing something bad to him. And he was already in a mess. Amen. And so the hunter, what he was trying to do, he couldn't get him to sit still. He was trying to press more on that trap. Amen. So the more he would press, it would hurt him more. But that was the only way that he could loose it. And the more it would hurt, the more the bear would try to growl at him, the more he would try to bite him. And unfortunately, the hunter wasn't able to let him go. And that's how sometimes we are, saints. When problems and situations and trials come, amen, we're like the bear. God has given us His Word to let it set us free. I believe every answer that He has for us is in this Word. This is peace. But sometimes we don't think that it is. Sometimes we think that we can fix the situation ourselves with our own ideas and our own thinking, when God has given us a source of peace, and He is peace. And if we turn to Him, amen, and just sit still and let go and let God have His way, amen. Stand still. When Moses came to the Red Sea, what did God told him? He said, stand still. Let me take care of the bear trap. Amen. Let me pull this out. I'll think of something. I'll know what to do, amen. You just stand still. And that's what we should do, amen. And the hours and the temptations and the tribulations, amen. It's just stand still and see what is it that, Lord, You are trying to do in my life with this situation, with this problem. Amen? Problems are going to come. Problems, we have them every day. But as I always say, problems are not eternal. Problems have a beginning. Problems have an end. They don't have eternal life. I'm so thankful for that. Amen? Praise God. Psalms 23, 1 through 6 tells us this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Psalms, and so it continues saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Amen. Even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, he says we don't have to fear any evil. I know that's tough. But it takes walking through the valley of the shadow of death to prove whether you're going to fear evil or not. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the opportunity to not fear evil if you didn't go through that valley. Amen. For thou art with me. How many believe God is with you? Amen. How many believe God is in you? Amen. Praise God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like the word. It comforts us. Amen. Praise God. You know, let's talk about the permissive will and the perfect will of God. You know, sometimes he allows us to make a fool of ourselves. Amen. Before we can understand his perfect will for our lives. Amen. And it makes me think of that one way mouse trap that has the door that opens. Amen. And the mouse goes in. And he thinks that he's got it made, but he can't come out. And you, as the homeowner, yes. But he is in there like, I can't get out. And I had the piece of cheese right there or the peanut butter, you know, ready to go, you know. And God allows us sometimes, amen, that we go through that one-way door, amen. So he allows it so you can see the foolishness in your life, amen. Sometimes we're just foolish in the way we think and in the way we talk. And he's like, okay, go ahead, go right through there. And you'll see that you won't be able to get out. Thinking the way you're thinking, amen, instead of holding on to my word and putting all your faith in the word, amen. Because your ideas and my ideas, your opinions and my opinions, amen, don't mean nothing before God. As long as they align, amen, with the word, amen, you're good to go. You'll be able to get out of that mousetrap, amen. But if they don't align with the word of God, you're stuck. And you're going to depend, Lord, you take me out of here. I can't do it. I've tried, I've done it all, everything that I could on my end. Lord, you the one who's able to open. And you know what? That mouse can be freed from that mousetrap. If the owner, all he has to do is just open the door himself. And the mouse can walk right out. Right? But now if the mouse is sitting there leaning against the door, you know, trying to get out, the owner won't be able to open the door. And sometimes that's what we do. We're sitting there just leaning on our own understanding. Leaning on our own opinions. Leaning on what we think it's right. Amen. And God is not able to open that door for you to be released free. Amen. In his word. Amen. So let's not get stuck in the mousetrap. In the spiritual mousetrap. Praise God. Amen. It reminds me also of when Brother Branham was lost. How many read the story when Brother Branham was lost in the woods? He took his wife hunting for a honeymoon, and Billy Paul was there with him. And he thought that he could kill two birds with one stone because he was a trapper. He was a hunter. I mean, and he was also a husband and a father. And I mean, he just thought he had it made. Everything was, I mean, he was unstoppable. Amen. And when he got up there and he got lost. He couldn't find his way back down to the mountain. Amen. To get back to his family, to get back to his wife, to get back to his son. And there he was getting worried because he was said that in his testimony, he was given, you can go back and read it in the message, a guide. He's there right walking around, and he calls it the Indian death walk. And so he's there doing circles. And finally, he gets to a point where he gets afraid. And he realizes that he is not as tough and as strong and as he thought that he was. And God allowed him to be in that position so that he could realize that he was limited in what he could do. And sometimes God allows us, amen, to get in positions in our lives so that we realize that you are not capable of changing every situation. Amen. You and I can't. Amen. But God can. And God has the expected end for everything and everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So God knew exactly where Brother Branham was at and how to get him out of that situation. Amen. But God wanted Brother Branham to realize that. Amen. So he had him walking in circles for hours until finally he said, Lord, he prayed, and just listening to a testimony, and his testimony, he said he just prayed. And then when he said, Lord, you got me. I can't do it on my own. He looked up and he said, I'm just going to take this direction. And when he did, he said something stopped him, and God touched him in the back and said, go this way. Because that was after he gave up his own thinking, his own understanding, and let go, and let again God was able to guide him. Amen. He was able to guide him down to the line, to the electrical line, and using that electrical line, and he was able to get down to the bottom of the mountain, to everything that he loved, his wife and his family. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So God allows us, amen, to go through pains and sufferings in our lives so that we can recognize that God is our only help. Amen. That we can let him lead us. Otherwise, we just continue in our own stubborn ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we can look at the life of Peter. Amen. Peter walking on water and he sinks. But at least he walked on water. Amen. But he sunk when he was looking at his problems. Amen. Peter also rebuked Jesus one time. Did you know that? He said, Lord, no, you're not going to. You're not going to die. You're going to be here always. Amen. He got rebuked by Jesus and said, no, it's not your will. It's my will. Let my will be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Peter, of course, denies Jesus after he said he wouldn't. A big, bad Peter, you know. And he said, no, I will never deny you, Lord. And that was what he did. Because why? God ultimately is his will. Amen. His perfect will. Praise the Lord. And he'll allow us to walk in permissive will for a while, but eventually it would lead us to his perfect will. Amen. Praise God. Amen. As parents, we have to let our children suffer sometimes. Did you know that? Yeah. Just let them suffer sometimes. Amen. They may not understand it at the moment. Amen. But in time, they will. Let them suffer. Let them fall. Let them. There's obviously, the limit because you're the adult. Let them go through that. Then they realize, okay, it's not as wonderful as I thought it'd be. You know, there's pain that goes behind it. It's like the story that the little story that Brother Eric told here about his son when about touching the fire. You know. He realized then if he touched that flame, it was hot. Yeah. Amen. And so that's what sometimes our kids need to know for themselves. You know, if you try to just keep them covered from everything, they'll never learn anything in life. Right. Right. Amen. They'll never know anything in life. And they'll just be just stuck in a room forever and won't ever want to go out there in the world. Amen. And you're doing more damage to them by doing that. You're harming them as a parent. See, God doesn't want to deal like that with us. That's why he allows you to make mistakes. He allows you to, go ahead, Peter, deny me. Because I know you would. He allows you, amen, to make the mistakes so that you realize that you're not on all control, but he is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip. This here, amen, Hebrews 5, amen. See, if we are children of God, amen, we will learn what God needs for us to learn by what we suffer. Look what Brother Branham says here in this quote. I know you all have read this quote before. He says in the Smyrnian church age, why does he stand by? Speaking of God, the reason is in Romans 8, 17 through 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. When you became a Christian, he didn't say that you're never going to suffer. He already told you in the Bible that you were going to suffer. So that's an expected end. That's expected. Amen. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also with that suffering be glorified together. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, not over us, but in us. Amen. Because the work is from the inside out. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he continues to say this. Unless we suffer. Can you all read that? Okay. Unless we suffer with him. Who? Christ. We cannot reign with him. So if everything is easy and honky-dory in your life, you are not a candidate to reign with Jesus. Because Jesus suffered. Amen. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. You want to have character in your life, right? You're going to suffer. Suffer away. But Christ has suffered already for you. So he knows what you're going through. Because we all want character. We all want to be like Jesus, but we don't want to suffer like Jesus. Character is a victory and not a gift. We don't come here to this world with character in our lives. Amen. It is built upon your life's experiences, right? A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Hallelujah. So character is important in our lives, right? How many believe that character is important? Get ready to suffer. Suffer. But suffer for the Lord. Amen. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame, the reason why he overcame is because he suffered. And is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Ah. So we've got to have tribulation in our lives. Amen. So these are four blessings that come from pain. One, it often brings us to repentance. When you have pain, you start checking your life. Lord, where have I failed you? What do I need to do to draw closer to God? So that is one of the purposes that God allows pain in our lives. And that God allows trials in our lives. Trials drive us to our knees instead of to despair. C.S. Lewis, he wrote and said, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. A megaphone, you know, like a bullhorn. So God allows painful and hurtful situations in our lives, amen, to rouse you, to draw you closer to him. Not to separate you from God. He does not allow pain in your life so that you can walk away from God. He allows pain in your life so that you can come closer to him. Amen. Another blessing that comes from pain is pain and hurt strengthen our faith. It can break us or build us. Amen. And I put there like a seed falling on the rock or in the middle of the thorns. You see? So that pain, it can either break you or whatever, or it can mold you. It can make you a better Christian. Amen? God wants the latter. Praise the Lord. Another blessing is that hard times increase the effectiveness of our witness. A person going through drug rehab becomes an empathetic counselor. Amen? A person that has been in the streets, that has been in drugs, that has lived the life of the streets, knows how to be able to help another person that's going through the same situation. So if you've never experienced any hardship in your life, you won't ever be able to help anybody else in that same hardship. Amen? So we've got to have pain, because the pain is not just for us. It's for also to affect the others around us. Praise the Lord. Paul spoke effectively to the Pharisees because he used to be a Pharisee. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the fourth blessing is that it helps us to step back and look at the big picture, and that God truly is in control. Amen? It helps us to look at the whole picture and say, Lord, what is the ultimate goal? Amen. Behind this. What is the ultimate goal? And that's very important, because sometimes we're just very narrow-minded. And we get used to the routine, and we get used to just how things are at one point. And God wants to expand your vision. God wants to expand your horizon. Amen. To look, amen, at what God has in store for you, but you can't see what God has in store for you if you got blinders on. Right? And he's got something right here ready for you. Amen. See, I can't see that water right now. And I'm a little thirsty. But see, if I got these blinders on, I won't be able to benefit from the water. Because I won't know the water is there, and it's right there. And because it's right there, I'm gonna take a sip. I hope you're enjoying this tonight. Maybe it wasn't what you came to look for, but amen. What we're talking about is peace. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're finishing up. Brother Branham says here, and I guess if I want to finish it, is let's finish it with what Brother Branham said. Amen. This is what Brother Branham says in the message, Shalom. He preached two. This was in January 12th, 1964, and then he preached another one January 19th, the same year. And he says, and remember, when the full Bible, listen in closing, when this full Bible has been thoroughly vindicated, then there will be an eternal shalom, an eternal peace. Amen. What is he saying? In other words, when the full word has been fully vindicated or fulfilled. Amen. Because nothing is going to go. Amen. Jesus said, this world will not pass until every jot, every tittle, every I is dotted, everything passes exactly the way he thought about it, the expected end that he had. Amen. Nothing's going to end until, and that's when an eternal shalom will be. Praise God. How many would desire that eternal shalom? Amen. Eternal peace. But you got to have the eternal peacemaker inside of you first. Amen. If you don't have the eternal peacemaker inside of you, you're not going to be able to enjoy the eternal peace out here, because you won't be there. I'm sorry to say. You won't be there to enjoy that eternal peace. So enjoy the eternal peacemaker right now. Praise God. I know that sounded a little rough. Amen. But we all need to be born again. We all need an experience with God. Amen. I say that from the pulpit to the janitor room. Praise the Lord. I want to see you there. I hope you want me to see. You want me to be there too. Praise God. Because I want to see Brother Dale again. I want to see Brother Gary. I want to see all these saints. Amen. All these saints that have gone on. Amen. I want to see them again. There's saints that from Brother Gene Williams Church in Anderson that I miss so much. Brother Cleveland, Brother Bannister, those saints, amen, that touched my life and had such an impact in my life as I was growing up in this message. Amen. I want to see them again. Amen. And I want to live the way he wants me to live so that I can see them. Praise God. But there's more word to be vindicated, Brother Branham says. He's got to vindicate more word. And when the last word is vindicated, then death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. The millennium will set in, and it'll be one great peace. Shalom. Amen. Why? Because the Satan will be bound, amen, for 1,000 years, and then later he'll be thrown into a lake of fire. Let's live for that day, Brother Branham says. Brother, sister, for that one great shalom. Remember, the Bible is the fountain of all wisdom and holds all hopes of the future. To the church, shalom. Then he says in a few days later, he says this, face the new year with this. Put him, as David said, I'll put him always before me. Because he is on my right hand, I shall not be moved. If you meet death this year, what difference does it make? God promised he would raise you up. If an accident kills you, what difference does it make? You have eternal life. I'll raise him up at the last days. Amen. What if anything happens? No matter what it is, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Hunger, peril, nakedness, no matter what it is, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ, and he is the word. Shalom. Amen. John 16:33, Jesus' own words. I love this scripture. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Amen. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Be of good cheer, saints. Man, you're gonna have tribulation. It's expected, right? We just talked about that. You're gonna have problems. You're going to have trials as you're walking in the Christian walk. But be of good cheer. He's overcome that tribulation already. Amen. Praise God. No matter what you have to go through. Listen, saints. Maybe that wasn't in God's will to heal Brother Dale, but let me tell you what. He's healed right now. Yeah. So it wasn't his will to be healed here, but he's healed on the other side. And as a matter of fact, more than healed. Praise God. So either if God doesn't do something for you or something that you're expecting right now, maybe for your body or whatever your request is, amen. Let's just say for a sick body or, amen. If he doesn't do it right now, amen. And you have to go by the grave, you're still a winner. You're still an overcomer. Amen. Because he overcame for you and he made a way for you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So with that, I say shalom, saints. Shalom. Let God be the peace. Let God be the peace for the Dale family. And like I said, you know, just encourage them and in any way that you can, pray for them. But most of all, I think just keep Nanny in prayer. Amen. Yeah, because Satan, I know, will come in and we'll battle her in her mind. And she needs that shalom. Praise the Lord Jesus. And you have the shalom in you. Amen. That can help bring that shalom, that atmosphere in her life. Amen. Praise God. How many love the Lord? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. I have the musicians come. We also thank Ben for being here with us and from Connecticut. I appreciate all your prayers also for the travels that we've had. We were in Connecticut last weekend, and just thank you all for your prayers while we were traveling. That was a long way. We went through about 10 states to get to Connecticut and also coming back. Some pretty states, but when you get up to New York and New York City and all that, and people are like, oh, New York City, wow. When you get there, it's like, bring me back to Georgia. That traffic is just terrible. And I hadn't been to New York City since 2004, and it's the same. Nothing's changed. Actually, I made Christine kind of nervous, you know, trying to get in front of people, you know. I mean, you're driving, and you got to get in, because, I mean, that's the route that you have to take. And they're not like here, you know. They flash their high beams at you to let you go, you know. Nuh-uh, they just keep going. They keep going. So you have to, okay, you just want to go ahead and hit my car then, because I'm getting in. That's the attitude you got to take when you're driving New York. At least here in Georgia, you're like, come on through, unless you're driving on 85, you know. Well, come on, or they'll flash their high beams at you. Not in New York. But we made it through, thank God. Praise the Lord. And thank also for your prayers. Also, a couple of weeks ago while we were in Canada, we certainly had a good time there and ministering to them. And they all send their greetings. And Brother Craig Boer sends his greetings to you, Brother Wade. And so each and every one, I just appreciate all your prayers. Remember us in your prayers also after the funerals and everything. We'll be traveling. Some of the young people are going to be traveling to Indiana for BYC. So just remember all of them in your prayers, amen, that God would just protect them during these crazy times that we live in, because we are certainly living in crazy times. People don't care anymore. They don't care. They, you know, they'll just run you right over. They just don't care, amen, and tell you that you're number one as they're doing it. If you know what I mean. Amen. Let's just sing a song.
Hearts are all aflame with the fire that filled that Pentecost. It's burning down within our hearts. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I could say I'm one of them. One of them, I'm one of them. One of them,
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
These people
may not learn to be nor boast of
glory. They have all received their Pentecost. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for me the same.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Seek this blessing that will start the joy bells ringing, and we'll keep the soul aflame burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. Glad that I can say I'm one of them, I'm one of them, one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say.
with one of them. You're going to be identified with something, so you're going to be identified with one of them. I'm identified with this family. We have a natural family, but this is our real family. Born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Make you feel good when you're around them. Sometimes your natural family, you don't feel too good when you're around them sometimes. But boy, the spiritual family, it sure takes over. And we sure appreciate all of you praying for us. And it was a journey that started a few years ago. And now that I like what Brother Ronnie Long, he sent me a message. And he said the greatest thing that a soldier wants in his life is to meet his captain. That soldier met his captain. That's what he wanted to see. He preached himself into that place. So by the grace of God, let's do the same thing. Let's honor Brother Dale by doing what he said, doing what the Word said. Because like Brother Louis said, he loved the Word of God. He loved the message of the hour more than anybody probably I've ever known. He dug in when some didn't want to dig in. He preached some things sometimes people didn't want to preach. But he did such a good job doing it. He's left us a legacy. He's left us something to look forward to. I told June today, and we hadn't cried much, and we were looking at each other coming down the road, and I said, when I see Dad, I want to ask him one question. Who met you at the river first?
Lord.
Was it Brother Mo? Was it his mom? Somebody met him. Brother Brown said, God will send somebody down to the river to meet you, to help you across, that had felt that sting of death, and just carry you right on across. That's the first thing I'm going to ask him. When he comes back here, I'm going to ask him, I say, hey, who was the first one to meet you at the river?
That's awesome.
And he'll tell us. Oh, what a wonderful time. Don't be sad. Oh, we can cry. We cry tears of joy. But don't be sad. He fought his whole life for this. And there's so many people that, I was telling Brother Buster over here, I went and told him, and he said, your dad preached a long time. I said, yeah, he preached over 50 years. I said, now he's getting to meet some of the people that lived under his ministry and benefited by it and just went on before him. And then he just goes over there to meet them. Pray for the family. Service, I know you all see that the service times are Friday, 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. Thank you for getting the food. And if you have any questions, ask Sister Esther Smallwood about food and all the arrangements. They're posted online. The service will be at 2 o'clock on Saturday. It'll start at 2 o'clock. I'll be doing a little bit of the service. Brother Collie will be involved. Brother Richard Wilson will be doing the eulogy. And Brother Jimmy Harris will be doing the graveside service. And there'll be some in between. Brother Aaron's going to sing a song. We tried to involve some of the ones in Dad's past that grew up under him. And as Brother Richard said the other day when he was here, he said, we wouldn't be here without Brother Dale. We wouldn't. We wouldn't be here. Like Brother Louise said, we wouldn't be here without him. So let's honor him on that day. But we're going to have the chapel only holds 210 people. So there's a lot of people from around the country that they're coming that I'm just texting now back and forth, different ones. So a lot of his friends, Brother Homer Longoria, and different ones, they're all coming. Brother Andre, different ones. And so we'll have a crowd pretty much Saturday, and then we'll feed what we can afterwards down at Pine Grove in Gillsville, where he will be, where the body will be laid to rest. So just keep us in prayer. If you have any questions, call us. That's okay. We're getting a lot of text messages from around the country. Also, for those of you there live streaming, we are going to try, and probably 99.9%, we will be live streaming the service Saturday. The whole service will be live streamed. Brother Vernon Manahan called, and he requested that we do that. I said, Brother Vernon, I said, it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning. They're 12 hours. He said, don't worry. We'll be up. 2 o'clock in the morning to catch a service. That's how much they love my dad. And Brother Keith, Brother George Quinn. So we're going to try to live stream it where everybody from around the world will be able to join in. And any of you that can't make it, we'll have it there where you can join in. But let's make it a joyous time. It is sad, but let's make it a joyous time. Let's move forward. Remember I told you, Brother Dale's greatest gift you could ever give him is to do what he says. Do what he walk into what he preached. Amen. If you walk into what he preached, he's the happiest man in the world. You can give him gifts. That means a lot, but what did he take with him? He didn't take gifts with him over across the other side. He took what was in his heart and what he preached. He took it with him. Amen. Let me tell you two things before we leave, and I'll be telling probably Saturday. Dad, in 1998, when I came back to the Lord, and I know he told it here some, he told a dream. And he told a dream that he saw a spaceship. I know some of you younger ones don't remember this. It's on tape probably in the 90s. But he had a vision or a dream that there was a spaceship come over his head and landed on a hill. Landed on a hill, and the lights were on, you know. And Dad said, remember, in the dream, he's helping people up that hill. Helping them, pulling them, pushing them up to get in that spaceship. And they all got in the spaceship except him. Except him. It left without him. Well, now we all gonna leave without him. But I believe he's got a group of people that he put in that spaceship that's going to bring that man back to earth in a glorified body. And about 3 months ago, and I was telling Brother Luis, I have dreams, but some of them you couldn't tell behind the pulpit. You can laugh because you've had the same ones. And you don't know where in the world that came from. So I'm not a hard dreamer. But I had a dream about 3 months ago. And the vision popped open, and I was sitting in a booth. And it was all white behind me, and I turned and put my arm up over the booth like this, and I turned and looked like over the white banister, and here come a man walking. There's a picture of me, him holding me. He was 20 years old. He was almost 20 when I was born in January. He was 20 in April, so he was 19 when I was born. And it's a picture of him holding me on the back of a Chevrolet. A car, and I was about 6 months old, so he would have been right at 20 years old, and that was the exact man that walked up. Black hair, tall, skinny, and he always smiled a lot of times like this, and he was just smiling, looked at me and smiled, and then the vision left. Don't worry, he's more alive than we are now. And he left that old pest house, and that's what we're going to put in the ground. But he will be back. I'll promise you, he'll be back. But he's left us a good legacy, and there's no way I can fill his shoes. I don't want to. I want him to have his own shoes, his own legacy. But I just want to be able to help everybody. We need to get through this. We get through this, and then we'll continue on. Soldiers fall, that doesn't end the battle. You do the best you can for the ones, and then you keep going forward. Let's be some of those people that Dad was pushing up the hill. Up the hill. A progressive message. He preached a progressive message. He was one of the first ministers in this gospel in the 70s when everybody was preaching God sent a prophet, hair and dress, you know, and all that legalism. He stepped forward and said, hey, there's more to this. He's preached statue perfect man, different things, way in the 70s when other people didn't even know what it was. You're a recipient of that. Amen. So what are we going to do with it? There's many people that's coming Saturday that's had a direct impact on each and every one of them. And we sure appreciate that. We thank all of you for the food. We're all going to have to go on a diet. The whole family will at one time because we won't be able to get in our clothes we're trying to wear Saturday because of the food you're sending. But we appreciate it. Please keep it coming. And we have that food on Saturday. And just pray for Mom. She's missed a partner now for 66 years that she was always. Well, somebody told me today, or Terry may have told, Terry Dale told me, he said, you know, I really have never seen your mama without your daddy. You know, I mean, dads went hunting and different things without mom, but there ain't a lot of times you don't see both of them together. Well, that's going to be hard. And we're just going to pray that God will give her peace and comfort some of your sisters. I know you've lost your spouses. You can comfort her and be with her and help her in this time of trouble. But we'll make it through. We're fine. He's better off than we are. He ain't got to worry about that no more. Last year, it wasn't good on his body. He was tired. And then it just came to a point to where his body couldn't overcome the all the infection and stuff that he had. So the Lord took him home yesterday about 5 o'clock. So we appreciate each and every one of you. Like I said, come and enjoy the funeral director said today, the homegoing. The celebration. And he sat around a table with us, and of course you know us, we're kidding and laughing and talking, and he said, I've sat here and people have cried and I've cried. He says, people have sat here basically with no hope. He said, but you guys, you know where he's at, you know what's going on, you know how to handle this. And just pray for us though. And we love you, with the love of the Lord. And we appreciate what you do here as a church. We really do. Thanks for your support and friendship to the family and the support you have. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and listen to Brother Luis, Lord, just pour his heart out, Lord, to tell us that you are the Prince of Peace. And in the time of trouble, you'll be that, Lord, if we'll just let you, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us as we continue on our journey, Lord. As we go home tonight, Lord, and lay down our head, may we thank you, Father, for the day you've given us, and then thank you again for the day that's coming forward. Father, I pray that you'll be with each one that's coming in this weekend, Lord, that you'll give them traveling mercies, Lord, and strength. Give us the family strength, Lord, as we stand there in the funeral home there with the people coming in. Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength, Father. Just bless Mom and just touch her, comfort her, wrap your arms around her, Lord, like no one else can, Father. Lord, we pray and ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, we decided to not have service on Sunday. You're going to be wore out. We're going to be wore out from Saturday and Friday. If you go to a Baptist church. Go to a church or live stream, but Sunday we're going to just take off and rest, if that's all right with y'all. I mean, you'll be up. We'll all be affected by it. So I figured we'd just take Sunday off. And then we'll start next Wednesday. I'll be speaking next Wednesday. And then we'll have the weekend service. We're not going to do away with that anniversary meeting. So we're going to still have it. Brother Mike Holtig will be here on Friday. Well, you'll see him this week. They're all coming here except Chris Long. But you'll see them next week. We'll have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Pray for the kids. They're all going to be young adults now. They're not kids. They're going to BYC. So pray for them that they'll get something from the Lord. Thank you for coming, buddy. Love you, brother. It's real easy down here. He said, we got long winters. I said, we don't down here. Just plant a seed sometimes, Sister Monica. Just plant a seed and it'll come to fruition. So you're dismissed. God bless you. Don't deserve it. That's what we are.